Wonderful. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for the singing. And thank you, sir, for singing my favorite song this morning, How Great Thou Art. Amen. Well, it's good to be here from Saturday night until, it has gone by quick. And I have really enjoyed preaching there at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and also doing the 8 videos this week on prayer, and also preaching in the chapels, different chapels, and being here with you. And what an honor it is. And I say that from my heart. I really do. I love to preach the Word of God, and I love to preach it to young ladies and young men that have given their lives to God, to serve God. But there are some things that we have this crazy idea that just because we come to a Bible college, that makes us spiritual. And just because we walk around with the King James Bible and we are separated in our dress, and we go out soul winning and we read our Bible and all that spiritual stuff, you know, we mistake that from being spiritual. And folks, you can be doing all of that stuff and not be spiritual. I run upon pastors every week of my life that stands publicly and tell their church, I'm full of anger. I'm not a praying man. You said, Brother Beckham, really? Really? For 20 years, I have heard those testimonies of men. And Kevin's dad was one of those men. And Bill Shutt. And Bill Shutt came here right after that revival and gave his testimony to you all that he was just not where he should have been with God. And over half of that church was not right with God. But they had a reputation that they were right with God. But they weren't. All kind of stuff was there. Pornography, drugs, alcohol. Anger, malice, all those things was at the Bible Baptist Church of York, Pennsylvania. But since then, for the last year and a half, that church, God has added over 50 families to that church. And you say, well, why? Listen carefully. They got cleaned up. They got tired of just going through the motions. They got tired of just playing a Christian. They became Christians. And they got serious. And God is blessing. Same way at Bailey's Grove Baptist Church, another Hiles Anderson grad, one of the sweetest men again that I preach for, his name is John Shook. And again, 6 weeks. I was there with Brother Shutt for 7 weeks. I was with Bill John Shook for 6 weeks, 90 saved, turned the church upside down. I remember Brother Shook asked me, he said, Brother Beckham, what is my problem? And I said, Brother Shook, you are too busy. You're just too busy. You're killing your church. You're killing yourself. And you're just too busy. I didn't know until years later, 4 or 5 years later, I guess, I had him to come to the National Intercessor Meeting at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And Brother Shook stood up and he said to me, he turned around, and I'm going to use what he said. I'm going to quote him. He said, Brother Beckham, you didn't know, but when you said to my staff and myself there in that restaurant that day that I was just too busy, he said, you ticked me off. You made me mad. I got upset with you. And he said, but I am so glad that I'm not mad with you anymore. He said, you helped me to realize being busy was not being spiritual. And, boy, we had a revival. Oh, my soul, we had a great revival there at that church. And I could tell you about dozens and dozens more. But we need to get right into the Word of God. Yesterday, I shared my heart. I have learned how to preach in the last 5 years. I've been standing in a pulpit for 54 years. But just in the past 5 or 6 years, I have learned how to preach. And so I'm going to preach to you this morning using a reviewing technique. I'm going to review what I said to you yesterday. And you say, oh, no, we don't have to hear that again. Yes, we need repetition. Repetition is the best way to teach and to preach. Amen. And so I have learned to do that in my meetings. So let's look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, I get to preach in all these Bible colleges around the country and the greatest churches in America and around the world. I'm a privileged man. I'm a blessed man. And I'm going to say something that might just kind of rub you wrong a little bit, but I want you to listen to me out, okay? I go into these Bible colleges, and every one of them, almost every one of them, greets me the way you greeted me this morning. And I know you do that with most all your speakers, and that's good. And sometimes when the speaker comes in, they have a one of these exciting messages that they preach, and the place goes crazy, and everybody stands and they holler and they scream and they do all this stuff, and I love that. I'm a Georgia boy, and I'm a Southern boy. I know how to do that. And by the way, I know the terminology to get you to do that. But what I got to say to you this morning, I don't know if it's going to be a lot of shouting, but there should be. Amen? There should be. You should be able to shout on the pure preaching of the Word of God, whether it's eating you up, convicting you, or making you joyful. We should be able to shout on the Word of God. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, and we're going to review for just a few moments, and I'm going to get right into the message. Now, if you were at church last night, you heard the message or the text that I'm going to read to you for the message in the chapel service today. But let's look at verse 1 again. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you are saved, if you're in the family of God, if you have repented of your sins and accepted Christ and all those things, the Bible plainly tells you and me to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, and I hope you can say that, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now listen, very important verse, brings conviction, especially if you are guilty. Mortify, put to death, crucify, put to dead, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Father, I love you. And I pray this morning that I can be a blessing to this student body and to this staff. And Lord, I pray I can be very loving to them and very caring and very sensitive to their needs. Lord, there may be some students right here, may even be staff, Lord, that is guilty of these things. And I pray that honesty will take place in this chapel service today. I pray that it will take place with me and you, Father. Thank you. And then, before I say, I love you, Father, they may be a lost person in front of me. And if there is, I pray, Father, that they'll listen to that tender voice of the Holy Spirit and they'll be born again right here this morning. Thank you. Sure love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Look in verse 1 with me. How many of you are saved? Let me see your hands. If you say, Brother Beckham, why would you ask such a question in a Bible college? Because I see people get saved in Bible colleges every year of my life. Amen. I've seen missionaries get saved. I've seen pastors, after I get done preaching, give the invitation, pastors of the church get saved. I've seen deacons get saved. I've seen Sunday school teachers get saved. So that's the reason why I asked that question. The Bible says, since you have been born again, since you're in the family of God, the Bible plainly says that there are some things that you and I should be doing. And what is the first thing we should be doing as Christians? We are to be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, let me ask you, from my heart to your heart, applying, I say this all the time, preaching the Word of God without application is useless. If you don't apply it, don't preach it. Amen? And you're looking at a preacher that preaches the Word of God, but I apply it to the people that I'm preaching to and to myself as I preach. And so let me ask you a question. Since you are in the family of God, since you are saved, are you seeking the things of God in your life? Are you seeking the things of God? Can you honestly say, Brother Beckham, I am seeking the things of God in my life. I am seeking the will of God in my life. Now, if you're not, you might as well not even go into your prayer closet. You might as well not even come to the altar and pray. And might as well not even try to pray during the day if you're not seeking God as a Christian. Why, Brother Beckham? Because the Bible tells you plainly, without interpretation. I'm not an interpreter. I'm not here to interpret the Bible for you. I am here reading the pure Word of God to you. And the Bible says, if you're risen, if you're saved, you're to be seeking God and seeking God's will in your life. And if you're not doing that, and I'll say it again, you will never have a prayer life. You will never have a relationship with God. And then look in verse 2. The Bible says, not only are you to seek God, and by the way, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God should be number one in your life. He shouldn't be number two. He should be number three. He should be number one. Is he number one in your life? All right. In about three or four of your lives, he is. Is he number one in your life? Amen. That sounds better. Look in verse 2. The Bible says, set your affections. That word affections means your mind. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Now, look up here for a moment. What is your mind on right now? You say, well, Brother Beckham, my mind is on the job. My mind is on my friend. My mind is, wait a minute. Your mind should be on Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Your mind should be on pleasing God by seeking Him. That's what you should be focused upon right now. Don't be guilty of coming to Bible college and graduating 4 years and not seek God and be focused upon the things of God. Because you're going to be pastors one day. You're going to be missionaries one day. You're going to be pastors' wives, missionaries' wives, secretaries, school teachers one day. And you need to graduate from this institution seeking God and having your mind on the things of God. Amen? We need to be serious about the work of God. And if you're not serious about the work of God, you should just resign and go home. Amen? And then I want you to notice in verse 3, the Bible says, and ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I hope that's true. It also says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And if we took time for everybody to walk over... up here at the mic and tell your student body and the staff here, Christ is my life. Could you do that this morning? Staff, could you do that this morning? Amen. You say, oh, Brother Beckham, this is tough. No, it's not tough. Since you have been risen with Christ, this could be common. This could be common stuff. It should be common stuff. It should be natural for you to do these things if since you have been born again. Problem is, you may not be born again. That could be the problem. Look in verse 5. I'm trying to get to verse 8. The Bible says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, sexual sins is the sin, the common sin, the number one sin in Bible colleges across this country. I'm not talking about secular universities. I am not talking about junior colleges. I'm talking about, and I know what I'm talking about because I sit in the president's offices and vice president offices and dean of men and dean of women. And let me tell you, I sit at the table with these guys and I hear these ladies tell that it's a problem even with the young girls in the schools, that the number one sin in our Bible colleges is the sin of pornography. Now, let me tell you something. That is filth. It has no place in the life of a risen one. It has no place in the life of a Christian. Amen. And let me tell you, with all the love I can muster up in my body and my heart for you, you will never have a relationship with God as long as you are dabbling with filth. Amen. And you know why you're dabbling with filth? It is because you're not seeking and you're not focused and He's not your life. So the Bible says, I want you to mortify, I want you to put to death fornication, uncleanness, and I won't go through all these and give you the scripture, and inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. This stuff will become your idol if you're not careful. And when it becomes your idol, you will be nothing more than a student at Hiles Anderson. That's all you're going to be. And God's not going to bless you. Hello? I love you. I love you with all my heart. But we need to hear this. If these guys are right and these ladies are right, these leaders are right, we need to hear this. And we need to get this stuff out of Hiles Anderson Baptist College. Amen? We need to get it out. If it's here, we need to get it out. Throw it out there in the pond somewhere. Amen? Because it's nothing but filth. Now, looking at verse 8, there's another problem that I find in Bible colleges, in churches, in homes. It's all over the nation. It is all over the world. Everywhere I go, I see mad people. I see people that are angry. John Shook's church again in Bailey's Grove Baptist Church. And by the way, these guys gave me permission to use their names publicly. They are good friends of mine. I love them to death, like sons. And Brother Shook told me, he said, Brother Beckham, you have been here for 6 weeks. You have preached the same message every night for 6 weeks. And my church is not mad no more. And I said, well, hallelujah. You know what I preached every night for 6 weeks? What are you mad about? What are you mad about? Every night I would get up and Brother Shook would be sitting back there. And before I even say it, I would say, what you mad about? And he would answer, what you mad about? Should we have anger in our lives? According to the Bible, we shouldn't, because we're risen ones. We are Christians. Look in verse 8. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Verse 8 says, but now, since you have been risen with Christ, put off some of these. Does it say some of these? What does it say? Come on. What does it say? I know you can shout. I know you can. I know you can really raise your voices, because I stood up here for about 2 or 3 minutes while ago and listened. Now, what does it say? There you go. But now ye also put off all. There you go. All what? What is the first one? Come on.
Anger.
Come on, say it louder.
Anger.
Put off what?
Anger.
I can't hear you.
Anger.
There you go. Put off anger. Put off anger. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Why should we do it? Because the Bible says so, and then he repeats it in Ephesians, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Amen. When you get angry, you're pleasing the devil, and you're displeasing God. You're bringing reproach upon God. You're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. And a risen one shouldn't be doing that. And one that is doing that will never have a relationship with God, because if you know to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. James 4:17. So we are to get over our anger. We are not to let the wrath of the sun go down upon the wrath, that anger. We need to get it right. You may have to walk across the aisle and say to a student, classmate, I'm sorry. Sorry I nubbed you in the hallway. I'm sorry I said so-and-so about you. You may have to go to a professor and say, Doc, I'm sorry that I slept in your class. I'm sorry that I've said some things about what you have been trying to teach us. I am sorry. These are things that we deal with in churches and in colleges across this country. And so the Bible says here, take this piece of garment and take it off, because we are not to be wearing the garments of the lost man. Amen. Hello? So, how many of you want prayer lives? Let me see your hands. All right, you want to have a prayer life, a relationship with God? Are you wearing that garment of anger? Did you walk in here this morning with anger in your heart? You say, I did. Well, you're going to have to take that garment off. Mortify it. Then when you walk out of here this morning, then you'll, guess what? You'll be a Christian. You won't just be a believer. There's a difference. Amen. And then notice the next one. There is the sin of wrath. The sin of wrath. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, wrath is listed as a part of the works of the flesh. And we should not have the work of the flesh, but we should have the 9 characteristics of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen? Yes, sir. And so, how many of you this morning, you got wrath in your life? Brother Beckham, I can't raise my hand. Why not? Let me tell you something. I said to one of the staffs this morning that a lot of times you'll come down to the altar and you'll get lost among the crowd, and you'll whisper to God, God, I'm full of anger. Just between you and me now, you know. But I have found out in the last 20 years, when people starts testifying all over the church and the services goes for 4 and 5 hours in the wee morning hours, and people are confessing sin publicly, as Paul said, confessing sins publicly, I find that those people that confess their sins publicly are serious. They want everybody to know it so that they can pray for them, that they won't fall back into that sin. Yes. And then I want you to notice there's the sin of malice. This garment shouldn't be worn by those that have been risen with Christ. What is malice? Deep-seated feelings against a person. Hatred that lasts long, on and on. Intense, long-lasting bitterness against a person. Holding grudges for weeks and months and years. I've heard adults stand and say, I've been mad at my brother for years. I've been mad at my sister. I've been mad at my employer. I've been mad at my pastor. I've been mad. Get over your madness and be a risen one. Amen. Be a Christian. Don't just be a believer. I make a statement in my meetings sometimes. I don't preach to a lot of Christians. I preach to a lot of believers. We have been taught, and I was taught, that if you were saved, you're a Christian. But what is a Christian? A Christian is someone that is Christ-like. And Christ could have called 10,000 angels and destroyed the whole bunch of us, but he didn't. What he did, he looked up to heaven and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And that's what we should do. We shouldn't keep it inside and let it rot inside of us and let our spiritual life rot and bring reproach upon God. We shouldn't do that. We should get that deep-seated feelings against the person and that hatred that lasts on and on in intense and long-lasting bitterness. We need to get it out of our lives so that we can pray. You think you can pray with that mess inside of you? You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Look in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. I know my time is going by real fast. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Listen, you're young adults now. You're not a bunch of children. Don't act like a bunch of children. Amen? Be mature adults. Hello? And you can do what this young man has done here if you would like to. You're not going to bother me at all. And so when it says here, be not children in understanding, don't do that. Hey, you're young adults. Let me tell you something. You're going to be pastors one day. You're going to be pastors' wives one day, secretary. People's going to be looking at you. Don't just go through school and get a diploma or a degree of some type and graduate and leave here the same old way. Leave here fired up, amen. Leave here prayed up. Leave here as scholars of the Word of God. Then God can use you, amen. Boy, we could turn this world upside down. This group right here, Hiles Anderson Baptist College, could turn this world upside down today. If every one of us, you hear that pronoun us? If every one of us would just get the old clothes off of us and put on the new clothes and get on the altar and start being what God wants us to be. Boy, oh boy. Got to quit being children. Listen to Ephesians 4:31. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Brother Benny is not saying that. That is the pure word of God that is saying to the student body of Hiles Anderson Bible College, I want you to put off all bitterness. I want you to put off all wrath. I want you to put all anger. I want you to put all clamor. I want you to put all evil speaking. Put it away from you with malice. That will bring revival. People say, well, we need revival in our in our churches. We need revival in our home. Let me add one. We need revival in Bible colleges across this country. Amen. We need young ladies and young men to get off the pews and pray. That's what we need. Well, Brother Beckham, I go soul winning and I read my Bible. I'm talking about praying. You can't even be a soul winner unless you have a prayer relationship with God. Oh, you can be a door knocker. We have all kind of door knockers. We don't need door knockers. We need soul winners. We need preachers. We don't need speakers. We need preachers. And the only way you're going to be a good preacher and a good soul winner and a good Christian is to do what this book says, where you can pray. You may have a loved one right now dying. Let me tell you, I have a wife in the hospital in California. If all I'm going to do is preach it and not live it, I'm letting her down. She's a sick lady. She's weak. She's weak this morning. I don't want to just preach this. I want to live it. Because she needs my prayers this morning. And I'll tell you, somebody else needs our prayer. America needs our prayers. We don't need you to sit in a pew and say, well, I'm a student at a Bible college and I'm okay. We need honesty. We need honesty to sweep through this auditorium. And we need everybody. We need everybody. We don't need 10%, 15%. We need everybody. And then the Bible says there is the sin of blasphemy. What is that talking about? It's not talking about the sin of against the Holy Ghost. This is talking about a speech that slanders, insults, hurts, injures, shows contempt. It's railing at somebody. You may be slandering your student body. You may be slandering, insulting, and hurting professors. I don't know. But if you are, you need to get that stuff out of your life this morning. Amen? Yes, you need to. And then there's the sin of filthy communication. I am shocked, as I said to the church last night, I am shocked at the filth that comes out of the mouth of so-called risen ones. Filthy communication. Dirty jokes. Then there's the sin of lying. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Oh, how I love Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, that's a lie. Hello? Yeah. There's all forms of lying. You can lie when you sing those great songs and those great hymns. Then you sit there and you say, oh, my prayer life is okay. Is it? Are you seeking God? Are you focused upon God? Is He your life? Have you put off anger? Or are you sitting there full of anger? And I have even stirred it up even worse. And you're just full of it. And you're saying, who does he think he is to come in here and preach this kind of message to a Bible college? Paul preached it to a local church. Amen. Folks, we need to be honest. We need to be honest. I say this to the staff. I preached to Brother Wilkerson, always had me to preach to the staff. When he was in Long Beach, I did 5 meetings for him there, and he would always have me to come in early, and I would preach to the staff. because he realized that just because you own a staff, that doesn't mean you're spiritual. Just because you're an evangelist preaching in a Bible college chapel doesn't mean Brother Beckham's spiritual. We all need to go down this checklist this morning and put yes or no. And then, when you get it filled out, do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. So as we all stand right now, and if someone would go to the piano and play all over the auditorium, would you just come? Amen. Right now. Right now.